Chapter 4. Crooks, the Negro stable buck, had his bunk in the harness room. On one side of the little room there was a square four-paned window, and on the other a narrow plank door leading into the barn. Crooks's bunk was a long box filled with straw, on which his blankets were flung. On the wall by the window there were pegs on which hung broken harness in the process of being mended, strips of new leather, and under the window itself a little bench for leather-working tools, curved knives and needles and balls of linen thread, and a small hand riveter. On pegs were also pieces of harness, a split collar with the horsehair stuffing sticking out, a broken hame, and a trace chain with its leather covering split. Crooks had his apple box over his bunk, and in it a range of medicine bottles, both for himself and for the horses. There were cans of saddle soap and a drippy can of tar with its paintbrush sticking over the edge, and scattered about the floor were a number of personal possessions. For being alone, Crooks could leave his things about, and being a stable buck and a cripple, he was more permanent than the other men, and he had accumulated more possessions than he could carry on his back. Crooks possessed several pairs of shoes, a pair of rubber boots, a big alarm clock, and a single-barreled shotgun. And he had books, too, a tattered dictionary and a mauled copy of the California Civil Code for 1905. There were battered magazines and a few dirty books on a special shelf over his bunk. A pair of large gold-rimmed spectacles hung from a nail on the wall above his bed. This room was swept and fairly neat, for Crooks was a proud, aloof man. He kept his distance and demanded that other people keep theirs. His body was bent over to the left by his crooked spine, and his eyes lay deep in his head, and because of their depth, seemed to glitter with intensity. His lean face was lined with deep black wrinkles, and he had thin, pain-tightened lips, which were lighter than his face. It was Saturday night. Through the open door that led into the barn came the sound of moving horses, of feet stirring, of teeth champing on hay, of the rattle of halter chains. In the stable buck's room, a small electric globe threw a meager yellow light. Crooks sat on his bunk. His shirt was out of his jeans in back. In one hand, he held a bottle of liniment, and with the other, he rubbed his spine. Now and then he poured a few drops of liniment into his pink palm hand and reached up under his shirt to rub again. He flexed his muscles against his back and shivered. Noiselessly, Lenny appeared in the open doorway and stood there looking in, his big shoulders nearly filling the opening. For a moment, Crooks did not see him, but on raising his eyes, he stiffened, and a scowl came on his face. His hand came out from under his shirt. Lenny smiled helplessly in an attempt to make friends. Crooks said sharply, "You got no right to come into my room. This here's my room. Nobody got any right in here but me." Lenny gulped, and his smile grew more fawning. "I ain't doing nothing," he said. "Just come to look at my puppy. And I seen your light, he explained. Well, I got a right to have a light. You go on, get out of my room. I ain't want it in the bunkhouse, and you ain't want it in my room. Why ain't you wanted? Lenny asked. 'Cause I'm black. They play cards in there, but I can't play 'cause I'm black. They say I stink. Well, I tell you, you all of you stink to me. Lenny flapped his big hands helplessly. Everybody went in that town, he said. Slim and George and everybody. George says I gotta stay here and not get in no trouble. Now, I seen your light. Well, what do you want? Nothing. Now, I seen your light. Now, I thought I could just come in and set. Crooks stared at Lenny, and he reached behind him and took down the spectacles and adjusted them over his pink ears and stared again. I don't know what you're doing in the barn anyway, he complained. You ain't no Skinner. There ain't no call for a bucket to come in the barn at all. You ain't no Skinner. You ain't got nothing to do with the horses. The pup, Lenny repeated. I come to see my pup. Well, go see your pup then, and don't come in a place where you're not wanted. Lenny lost his smile. He advanced a step into the room, then remembered, and back to the door again. I looked at him a little. Slim says I ain't to pet him very much, Crook said. Well, you've been taking him out of the nest all the time. I wonder the old lady don't move him someplace else. Oh, she don't care. She lets me. Lenny had moved into the room again. Crook scowled, but Lenny's disarming smile defeated him. Come on in, set a while, Crook said. As long as you won't get out and leave me alone, you might as well sit down. His tone was a little more friendly. All the boys going to town, huh? All but old Candy. And he just sits in the bunkhouse a-sharpening his pencil and a-sharpening and a-figuring. Crooks adjusted his glasses. Figuring? What's Candy figuring about? Lenny almost shouted. Well, about the rabbit. You're nuts, said Crooks. You're crazy as a widge. What rabbits you talking about? The rabbits we're gonna get, and I get to tend 'em. Cut the grass and give 'em water and like that. Just nuts, said Crooks. I don't blame the guy you travel with for keeping you out of sight. Lenny said quietly, it ain't no lie. We're gonna do it. Gonna get a little place and live on the fat of the land. Crook settled himself more comfortably on his bunk. Sit down, he invited. Sit down on a near keg. Lenny hunched down on a little barrel. You think that's a lie, Lenny said. Oh, but it ain't no lie. Every word's a truth, and you can ask George. Crooks put his dark chin into his pink palm. You travel around with George, don't you? Sure, me and him goes every place together, Crooks continued. Sometimes he talks and you don't know what the hell he's talking about. Ain't that so? He leaned forward, boring Lenny with his deep eyes. Ain't that so? Yeah. Well, sometimes just talks on and you don't know what the hell it's all about. Yeah, sometimes, but not always. Crooks leaned forward over the edge of the bunk. I ain't a southern Negro, he said. I was born right here in California. My old man had a chicken ranch, about 10 acres. The white kids come to play at our place. And sometimes I went to play with them, and some of them was pretty nice. And my old man didn't like that. I never knew till long later why he didn't like that. But I know now. He hesitated, and when he spoke again, his voice was softer. There wasn't another colored family for miles around. I And now there ain't a colored man on this ranch, and there's just one family, and so did Dad. He laughed. If I say something, why, it's just a nigger saying it. Lenny asked, now, how long you think it'll be before them pups'll be old enough to pet? Crooks laughed again. A guy can talk to you and be sure you won't go blabbing. Couple of weeks and them pups'll be all right. George knows what he's about. Just talks and you don't understand nothing. He leaned forward excitedly. This is just a nigger talking, and a busted back nigger, so it don't mean nothing, see? You couldn't remember it anyways. I seen it over and over. A guy talking to another guy, and it don't make no difference if he don't hear or understand. The thing is, they're talking, or they're sitting still or not talking. It don't make no difference. No difference. His excitement had increased until he pounded his knee with his hand. George can tell you screwy things, and it don't matter. It's just the talking. It's just being with another guy, that's all. He paused. His voice grew soft and persuasive. Suppose George don't come back no more. Suppose he took a powder and just ain't coming back. What'll you do then? Lenny's attention came gradually to what had been said. What? He demanded. I said, suppose George went into town tonight, and you never heard of him no more. Crooks pressed forward, some kind of private victory. Just suppose that, he repeated. He won't do it, Lenny cried. George wouldn't do nothing like that. I've been with George a long time. He'll come back tonight. But the doubt was too much for him. Don't you think he will? Crooks's face lighted with pleasure in his torture. Nobody can tell what a guy'll do, he observed calmly. Let's say he wants to come back and can't. Suppose he gets killed or hurt so he can't come back. Lenny struggled to understand. George won't do nothing like that, he repeated. George is careful. He won't get hurt. He ain't never been hurt 'cause he's careful. Well, suppose he don't come back. What'll you do then? Lenny's face wrinkled with apprehension. I don't know. Say, what are you doing anyways? He cried. Oh, this ain't true. George ain't got hurt. Crooks bore in on him. Want me to tell you what happened? They take you to the booby hatch. They tie you up with a collar like a dog. Suddenly, Lenny's eyes centered and grew quiet and mad. He stood up and walked dangerously toward Crooks. Oh, who hurt George? He demanded. Crooks saw the danger as it approached him. He edged back on his bunk to get out of the way. I was just supposing, he said. George ain't hurt. He's all right. He'll be back all right. Lenny stood over him. What are you supposing for? Ain't nobody gonna suppose no hurt to George. Crooks removed his glasses and wiped his eyes with his fingers. Just sit down, he said. George ain't hurt. Lenny growled back to his seat on the nail keg. Ain't nobody gonna talk no hurt to George, he grumbled. Crooks said gently, maybe you can see now. You got George. You know he's gonna come back. Suppose you didn't have nobody. Suppose you couldn't go into the bunkhouse and play rummy 'cause you're black. How'd you like that? Suppose you had to sit out here and read books. Sure, you could play horseshoes till it got dark, but then you gotta read books. Books ain't no good. A guy needs somebody to be near him, he whined. A guy goes nuts if he ain't got nobody. Don't make no difference who the guy is, long as he's with you, I tell you, he cried. I tell you, a guy gets too lonely, and he gets sick. George gonna come back, Lenny reassured himself in a frightened voice. Maybe George come back already. Maybe I better go see, Crooks said. I didn't mean to scare you. You come back. I was talking about myself. A guy sits alone out here at night, maybe reading books or thinking or stuff like that. And sometimes he gets thinking and he got nothing to tell him what's so and what ain't so. Maybe if he sees something, he don't know whether it's right or not. He can't turn to some other guy and ask him if he sees it too. He can't tell. He got nothing to measure by. I seen things out here. I wasn't drunk. I don't know if I was asleep. If some guy was with me, he could tell me I was asleep, and then it'd be all right. But I just don't know.
Crooks was looking across the room now, looking toward the window. Lenny said miserably, "George won't go away and leave me. Now, I know George won't do that."
The stable buck went on dreamily. "I remember when I was a little kid on my old man's chicken ranch. Had two brothers. They's always near me, always there. Used to sleep right in the same room, right in the same bed. All three. Had a strawberry patch. Had an alfalfa patch. Used to turn the chickens out in the alfalfa on a sunny morning. And my brother'd sit on a fence rail and watch 'em. White chickens they was."
Gradually, Lenny's interest came around to what was being said.
"George says we're gonna have alfalfa for the rabbits."
"What rabbits?"
"We're gonna have rabbits in the berry patch."
"You're nuts."
"We are, too. You ask George."
"You're nuts." Crooks was scornful.
"I've seen hundreds of men come by on the roads and on the ranches with their binges on their back and that same damn thing in their heads. Hundreds of them. They come and they quit and they go on. And never a damn one of them got a little piece of land in his head. And never a damn one of them ever gets it. It's just like heaven. Everybody wants a little piece of land. I read plenty of books out here. Nobody never gets to heaven, and nobody gets no land. It's just in their head. They all the time are talking about it, but it's just in their head."
He paused and looked toward the open door, for the horses were moving restlessly and the halter chains clinked. A horse whinnied.
"I guess somebody's out there," Crook said. "Maybe Slim. Slim comes in sometimes, 2-3 times a night. Slim's a real skinner. He looks out for his team."
He pulled himself painfully upright and moved toward the door.
"That you, Slim?" he called.
Candy's voice answered.
"Slim went in town. Say, you seen Lenny?"
"You mean the big guy?"
"Yeah. Seen him around here any place?"
"He's in here," Crook said shortly.
He went back to his bunk and lay down. Candy stood in the doorway, scratching his bald wrist and looking blindly into the lighted room. He made no attempt to enter.
"Tell you what, Lenny, I've been figuring out about them rabbits."
Crook said irritably.
"You can come in if you want."
Candy seemed embarrassed.
"I don't know. Of course, if you want me to..."
"Come on in. If everybody's coming in, you might just as well."
It was difficult for Crooks to conceal his pleasure with anger. Candy came in, but he was still embarrassed.
"You got a nice cozy little place in here,"
he said to Crooks.
"Must be nice to have a room all to yourself this way."
"Sure," said Crooks. "And a manure pile under the window. Sure, it's swell."
Lenny broke in. "You said about them rabbits." Candy leaned against the wall beside the broken collar while he scratched the wrist stump.
"I've been here a long time," he said. "And Crook's been here a long time. This the first time I've ever been in his room."
Crook said darkly,
"Guys don't come into a colored man's room very much. Nobody been here but Slim.
Slim and the boss.
Candy quickly changed the subject.
Slim's as good a skin as I ever seen.
Lenny leaned toward the old swamper. About them rabbits, he insisted. Candy smiled.
I got it figured out. We can make some money on them rabbits if we go about it right.
But I get to tend 'em, Lenny broke in. George says I get to tend 'em. I promise.
Crooks interrupted brutally.
You guys is just a kidding yourself. You talk about it a hell of a lot, but you won't get no land. You'll be a swamper here till they take you out in a box. Hell, I've seen too many of you guys. Lenny here'll quit and be on the road in 2-3 weeks. Seems like every guy got land in his head.
Candy rubbed his cheek angrily.
You're damn right we're going to do it. George says we are. We got the money right now.
Yeah, said Crooks. And where's George now? In town, in the whorehouse. That's where your money's a-going. God, I've seen it happen too many times. I've seen too many guys with land in the head. They never get none under the hand.
Candy cried.
Sure they all want it. Everybody wants a little bit of land. Not much. Just something that was his. Something he could live on, and there couldn't nobody throw him off of it. I never had none. I planted crops for damn near everybody in this state. But they wasn't my crops, and when I harvested them, it wasn't none of my harvest. But we're going to do it now, and don't you make no mistake about that. George ain't got the money in town. That money's in the bank, and me and Lenny and George, we're going to have a room to ourselves, and we're going to have a dog and rabbits and chickens, and we're going to have green corn and maybe a cow or a goat.
He stopped. Overwhelmed with his picture. Crooks asked,
You say you got the money?
You damn right. We got most of it. Just a little bit more to get. Have it all in 1 month. George got the land all picked out, too.
Crooks reached around and explored his spine with his hand.
I never seen a guy really do it, he said. I seen guys nearly crazy with loneliness for land. But every time a whorehouse or a blackjack game took what it takes.
He hesitated.
If you guys had won a hand to work for nothing, just as keep, why, I'd come and lend a hand. I ain't so crippled I can't work like a son of a bitch if I want to.
Any of you boys seen Curly?
They swung their heads toward the door. Looking in was Curly's wife. Her face was heavily made up. Her lips were slightly parted. She breathed strongly as though she had been running.
Curly ain't been here,
Candy said sourly. She stood still in the doorway, smiling a little at them, rubbing the nails of one hand with the thumb and forefinger of the other. And her eyes traveled from one face to the other.
They left all the weak ones here, she said finally. Think I don't know where they all went?
Even Curly, I know where they all went.
Lenny watched her, fascinated. But Candy and Crooks were scowling down away from her eyes. Candy said,
Then if you know, why you want to ask us where Curly's at?
She regarded them amusedly.
Funny thing, she said. If I catch any one man and he's alone, I get along fine with him. But just let two of the guys get together and you won't talk. Just nothing but nad.
She dropped her finger and put her hands on her hips.
You're all scared of each other, that's what. Every one of you scared, the rest is going to get something on you.
After a pause, Crook said,
Maybe you'd better go along to your own house now. We don't want no trouble.
But I ain't giving you no trouble. You think I don't like to talk to somebody every once in a while? You think I like to stick in that house all the time?
Candy laid the stump of his wrist on his knee and rubbed it gently with his hand.
He said accusingly,
"You got a husband. You got no call fooling around with other guys, causing trouble."
The girl flared up.
"Sure I got a husband. You all seen him. Swell guy, ain't he? Spends all his time saying what he's gonna do to guys he don't like. And he don't like nobody. You think I'm gonna stay in that lousy 2x4 house and listen to how Curly's gonna lead with his left twice and then bring in the old right cross? 1-2, he says. Just the old 1-2 and he'll go down."
She paused, and her face lost its sullenness and grew interested.
"Say, what happened to Curly's hand?"
There was an embarrassed silence. Candy stole a look at Lenny, and then he coughed.
Why, Curly, he got his hand caught in a machine, ma'am. Bust his hand."
She watched for a moment, and then she laughed.
"Baloney! What do you think you're selling me? Curly started something he didn't finish. Caught in a machine. Baloney. Why, he ain't give nobody the good old 1-2 since he got his hand bust. Who bust him?"
Candy repeated sullenly,
"Guy caught in a machine."
"All right," she said contemptuously.
"All right, cover him up if you want it. What do I care? You bindle bumps, you think you're so damn good. What do you think I am, a kid? I tell you, I could have went with shows. But not just one, neither. And the guy told me he could have put me in the pictures."
She was breathless with indignation.
"Saturday night. Everybody out doing something. Everybody. And what am I doing? Standing here talking to a bunch of bindle stiffs. A nigger and a dum-dum and a lousy old sheep. And liking it because there ain't nobody else."
Lenny watched her, his mouth half open. Crooks had retired into the terrible protective dignity of the Negro. But a change came over old Candy. He stood up suddenly and knocked his nail keg over backward.
"I had enough," he said angrily. "You ain't wanted here. We told you you ain't. And I tell you, you got floozy ideas about what us guys amounts to. You ain't got sense enough in that chicken head to even see that we ain't stiffs. Suppose you get us canned. Suppose you do. You think we hit the highway and look for another lousy two-bit job like this. You don't know that we got our own ranch to go to and our own house, and we ain't got to stay here. We got a house and chickens and fruit trees and a place 100 times prettier than this. And we got friends. That's what we got. Maybe there was a time when we was scared of getting canned, but we ain't no more. We got our own land, and it's ours, and we can go to it."
Curly's wife laughed at him.
"Baloney," she said. "I seen too many you guys. If you had two bits in the world, why, you'd be in getting two shots of corn with it and sucking the bottom of the glass. I know you guys."
Candy's face had grown redder and redder. But before she was done speaking, he had control of himself. He was the master of the situation.
"I might have knew,"
he said gently.
"Maybe you just better go along and roll your hoop. We ain't got nothing to say to you at all. We know what we got, and we don't care whether you know it or not. So maybe you just better scat along now, 'cause Curly maybe ain't gonna like his wife out in the barn with us bindle stiffs."
She looked from one face to another, and they were all closed against her. And she looked longest at Lenny until he dropped his eyes in embarrassment. Suddenly she said,
"Where'd you get them bruises on your face?"
Lenny looked up guiltily.
"Oh, who, me?"
"Yeah, you."
Lenny looked to Candy for help, and then he looked at his lap again.
"He got his hand caught in a machine," he said.
Curly's wife laughed.
"Okay, machine. I'll talk to you later. I like machines.
Candy broke in.
You let this guy alone. Don't you do no messing around with him. I'm going to tell George what you says. George won't have you messing with Lenny.
Who's George? She asked.
The little guy you come with?
Lenny smiled happily. Oh, that's him, he said. Oh, that's the guy, and he's gonna let me tend the rabbits.
Well, if that's all you want, I might get a couple rabbits myself.
Crook stood up from his bunk and faced her.
I had enough, he said coldly. You got no rats coming in a colored man's room. You got no rats messing around here at all. Now you just get out and get out quick. And if you don't, I'm going to ask the boss not to ever let you come in the barn no more.
She turned on him in scorn.
Listen, nigger, she said. You know what I can do to you if you open your trap.
Crook stared hopelessly at her. And then he sat down on his bunk and drew into himself. She closed on him.
You know what I can do.
Crook seemed to grow smaller, and he pressed himself against the wall.
Yes'm.
Where you keep your place, then, nigger? I could get you strung up on a tree so easy it ain't even funny.
Crooks had reduced himself to nothing. There was no personality, no ego. Nothing to arouse either like or dislike. He said,
Yes'm.
And his voice was toneless. For a moment she stood over him, as though waiting for him to move so that she could whip at him again. But Crook sat perfectly still, his eyes averted. Everything that might be hurt, drawn in. She turned at last to the other two. Old Candy was watching her, fascinated.
If you was to do that, we'd tell,
he said quietly.
We'd tell about your framing, Crooks. Tell and be damned, she cried. Nobody'd listen to you, and you know it. Nobody'd listen to you.
Candy subsided.
No,
he agreed.
Nobody'd listen to us.
Lenny whined. I wish George was here. No, I wish George was here. Candy stepped over to him.
Don't you worry none, he said. I just heard the guys coming in. George will be in the bunkhouse right now, I bet.
He turned to Curly's wife.
You better go home now,
he said quietly.
If you go right now, we won't tell Curly you was here.
She appraised him coolly.
I ain't sure you heard nothing. Better not take no chances, he said. If you ain't sure, you better take the safe way.
She turned to Lenny.
I'm glad you bust up Curly a little bit. He got it coming to him. Sometimes I'd like to bust him myself.
She slipped out the door and disappeared into the dark barn. And while she went through the barn, the halter chains rattled and some horses snorted, and some stamped their feet. Crook seemed to come slowly out of the layers of protection he had put on.
Was that the truth, what you said about the guys come back? He asked.
Sure, I heard him.
Well, I didn't hear nothing.
The gate banged,
Candy said, and he went on.
God, Curly's wife can move quiet. I guess she had a lot of practice, though.
Crooks avoided the whole subject now.
Maybe you guys better go, he said. I ain't sure I want you in here no more. A colored man gotta have some rights, even if he don't like 'em.
Candy said,
that bitch didn't ought to have said that to you.
It wasn't nothing, Crook said dully. You guys coming in and setting made me forget. What she says is true.
The horses snorted out in the barn, and the chains rang, and a voice called, Lenny! Oh, Lenny, you in the barn? It's George, Lenny cried, and he answered, here, George, I'm right in here. In a second, George stood framed in the door, and he looked disapprovingly about. What you doing in Crooks's room? You hadn't ought to be here. Crooks nodded. I told him, but they come in anyways. Why didn't you kick him out? I didn't care much, said Crooks. Lenny's a nice fella. Now Candy aroused himself.
Oh, George, I've been figuring. A guy doped out how we can even make some money on them rabbits.
George scowled. I thought I told you not to tell nobody about that. Candy was crestfallen.
Didn't tell nobody, Crooks,
George said. Well, you guys get out of here. Jesus, seems like I can't go away for a minute. Candy and Lenny stood up and went toward the door. Crooks called. Candy?
Huh?
Remember what I said about hoeing and doing odd jobs?
Yeah, said Candy. I remember.
Well, just forget it, said Crooks. I didn't mean it. Just fooling. I wouldn't want to go no place like that.
Well, okay, if you feel like that. Good night.
The three men went out of the door, and as they went through the barn, the horses snorted and the halter chains rattled. Crooks sat on his bunk and looked at the door for a moment, and then he reached for the liniment bottle. He pulled out his shirt and back, poured a little liniment in his pink palm, and reaching around, he fell slowly to rubbing his back.